our attention was focused over here. Right? On this beautiful painting, Butterfly Rain. We focused our attention here and on Jesus' words to us in Luke 18, verse 17, where Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter in it." Jesus says that unless we become childlike, unless we open up ourselves to trust, to believe and to depend upon God, as a child does its parents, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. Things such as trust, belief, wonder, and awe, dependence, hunger for the truth, characteristics that we find in little children, unless we have these prerequisites, we're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus reminds us that unless these are in our hearts, we're not going to be able to enter into a relationship with Him. In our text for today, Jesus takes us one step further. In this parable, now are you familiar with parables? Do you know what they are? A parable is a short tale that illustrates a universal truth. And it's one of the simplest forms of narrative. The word parable comes from the Greek word parabole, which is a name given by Greek rhetoricians to any fictive illustration in the form of a brief narrative. Parables take what is known and understood by the listener and use it to aid in the understanding of something new. So in this parable, Jesus is teaching his listeners, his disciples, the crowd that's there, about our responses to the Word of God. And he's teaching them about the difference of being childlike and childish, as one theologian put it. Jesus says how we respond to the kingdom of God is also very important. In Luke 8, Jesus uses what was known in Jesus' day as a four types parable. Lois Verberg and Ann Spangler in their new book, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus, remind us that a four types parable was a very common type of rabbinic parable. It was used by rabbis and teachers during Jesus' day. It was used to teach them about the truth and by comparing four different types of people and how they would respond to different things. In the case of our parable, Jesus is teaching about how we respond to His Word, His invitation to us, His invitation of the kingdom of God. First type. I've got four types. First type, he says, is the hard soil. These are people who hear the Word, but then the devil comes and takes it from their hearts. Why? What do we know about paths? Paths that are well-worn, paths that are used often. How pliable are hard-packed paths? About this pliable, right? Take the Word. What happens? Do they receive it? Bounces right off, right? They turn to cinder. There you go. That's right. She says there's one type of person whose heart is hard. Hard as concrete. The invitation comes. Here it comes. But when it gets there, it bounces back. Or it just sits there. And then something will come along and it'll snatch it away. This person doesn't yet have the childlike qualities. A childlike heart is pliable. Right? It's open. It has wonder. It has awe. It's a dependent heart. But there are people who don't have a heart like that. Right? So it's hard. The message comes, but it bounces off. Do you know any people like this? Do you know people who have hard hearts? people who hear a good message, something that would be helpful, but it just bounces right back. Type one, hard soil. Type two, rocky soil. She says these are the type of people who receive the word with joy initially when they hear it, but they have no roots. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. When I read this, I was reminded of this. This is a fire bush. How is it looking healthy there? No. This has been sitting by my garage for about 12 months now. Got this at Home Depot at the end of the season last year. I think I paid $1 for it. And when we got it, there were leaves on it and stuff. And we were going to plant it, but there was only room in the garden for one plant. We bought two. So one got in, one didn't get out. Or one stayed out. The spring after the snow all melted, it greened right up. It was ready to go. But then I didn't put it anywhere. Then the summer came and the rain stopped. And what happened to it? It has some root, but very shallow. Because of the plastic that was insulating it from the water, that didn't help much either. When the summer came, it failed the growing test. Right? Do you know people like this? People who initially are so gung-ho, woo, receive it with joy, but then the test comes. I think of my neighbor growing up. He believed maybe a little. Maybe for a while he had received the word all through his childhood, but always kept it at a distance. And then his wife died. And that was too much. He couldn't make sense of it. It didn't seem fair. Faith, he said, failed the goodness test. It failed the fairness test. So he fell away. Pastor Amy, when we were talking about this earlier this week, we called friends in high school and college who, as they learned more things, as they got smarter and learned more things about the way the world works, their intellect got in the way. They had received it, but the more they received, faith didn't begin to pass the intellectual test. Didn't make sense anymore. So they fell away. The rocky soil. Shallow. Greens up right away, but then falls away. Two more soil types of soil. The thorny soil and the good soil. And at this point, I want to invite Kim to come forward because as we've been talking about this painting, her insight and her story, as Gail said, through this painting has been so helpful to me. So as she's coming up, would you please welcome Kim? Yeah, you can sit right there. That's fine. Sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it on?
It is. Have a seat right there. That'd be fine. Tell us first of all a little bit about yourself.
My name is Kimmery Green, but I do answer to Kimari. That's fine.
That's right.
I'm a mom and a wife.
Okay.
And I work, and I have an associate's degree in art and art history, and always wanted to make more out of that, but nothing became of that. And I got involved in the mortgage business for about 15 years and lost my job and got back into art just as of, like, 2004. So, I was here last night for the artist talk, and I kind of explained that my paintings are like bookmarks in my spiritual journey, kind of like standing stones that the Israelites would erect whenever God wanted them to remember an important truth. And so that's what my paintings are to me.
Excellent. Tell us about this one. What's it titled?
This painting is called The Seasoned Faith, and it's about exactly what you are talking about. It's about maturity in Christ. When I say seasoned, when we say that we're seasoned at doing something, that means that we become good at doing something. We can become mature in our faith, seasoned in it. But that does not exempt us from temptation. And the moth in the painting and the face hidden behind it is symbolic of not taking, well, to take up your treasures in heaven, not in things of this world, because that is devoured by moth and rust. And it's very deceiving and sometimes enticing when you're tempted with something. And so that is what that part of the painting represents. And she is, she's encountering a time of temptation. And because she is seasoned in her faith or has grown in her faith, it's a time for her to, well, I guess the best way to say that is that through Christ, because she's empowered by him, she's able to stand up to that. So, in short, that's what that means.
Excellent. What accounts for the transition? When we had talked earlier, you had talked a little bit about obedience. How do you move from the temptation into the maturity?
Like, the fact that temptation can be so enticing, for me, it was a matter of, I had thought that I was kind of like standing firm in my faith. And my past hurts and pains started to surface again in my life and started to cause a ruckus in my faith, shall I say. And I wanted to turn to the ways of the world for handling that pain. And the ways of the world are by possibly not forgiving, by revenge maybe. Ways of the world are shallow ways of handling things, but at the time they feel good. So I'd just like to read a verse to you. That really is the essence of the painting. This is what spoke to me. So, if you think you're standing firm, which I thought I was, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. But essentially, that is our choice to do that. And because of my faith that I had in Christ and the truths that he had revealed to me, I made the choice to handle it in a godly way, not in the ways of the world. And then therefore, because of that, I was able to continue my growth in Christ. But it was a turning point, definitely.
Thank you so much for sharing.
I hope that's understandable.
Is that understandable? I think so. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet.
I got to chat with Kim a lot more than she just shared here. But through the painting, she helped me understand the difference between what I call the next two types. Right? The type, the thorny soil. Right, those who hear, but then are choked by the things of this world. Jesus talks about life's worries, right? Life's riches, the pleasures. These things that come alongside, they're right there, but then what they end up doing is choking, stunting, preventing us from maturing in our faith. It could be doubts, it could be past pains. There are all kinds of things. I was reading the Time magazine yesterday. It just came on Friday, and I got it before Pastor Amy got it, so I was able to read it. And in the verbatim section, they have these quotes of people in the news and things that they say. And I read this one by Mark Dreher, who is a disgraced financier, currently serving 20 years in prison for fraud on why he hatched a $380 million Ponzi scheme that ran for 4 years, beginning in 2004. So this guy's in jail. And he says this, I thought it, all that money, he said, would make me happy. He thought it would make him happy. Where is happiness found? Right? There's things that offer happiness that are right there that say, here it is. When we go for them, it chokes us. And when it does, it prevents us from maturing. It holds us back. But then there's the good soil. Those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, who retain it and persevere in and through it. They hold fast. They hold fast to the Word of God and keep it secure and allow it to steer their life and not the things of the world or the way the world operates, like Kim said. They don't allow revenge to steer. They don't allow unforgiveness to steer. They allow forgiveness to take its place. They hold on to it as like the image of this word is, you can think of a captain of a ship. This was helpful for me. I think of this big ship, and you got to keep that on course. If you got to keep a big ship on course, do you just kind of lollygag? No, you hold on to the wheel so that it keeps going straight. They hold on to the Word of God and the promises and the truths that are found therein that way so that it keeps going this way. Mature faith does not allow things to come in, fears, riches, or pleasures to steer. Instead, it allows what God says to steer. Last night, I see Lydia back there. She talked about this type of faith. A faith that provides a firm foundation on which we stand. She talked about a faith that makes a difference in how a person reacts. About the choices they make. About why they paint the way they do. A good soil type of faith. When things come at them, they react differently. Have you experienced people like this? People with a mature faith. People who are firmly grounded. Grounded in such a way that their choices and the things that come at them. Professor Jansen does the mosaic over there. He talked about, there's all kinds of things. And he's got little pictures of all the things, some of the things that he's encountered in life. And he said, things keep coming. He's like, I never know what a day will bring. Right? It keeps coming. But at the bottom, and there's a foundation, so that no matter what comes, he reacts a certain way. Do you know people like this? I've experienced people like this. I've visited people on their deathbed who are not worried or afraid. And I look at them, right? And I ask them, and I'm like, why? This is not going well. You should be afraid. Why are you not worried or afraid? It's because they believe and they hold fast to the promise that Paul records for us in 1 Thessalonians 4. They know that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So they're laying on their deathbed full of cancer. Not a good situation. But they react in a certain way because they're laying on that promise. That they too will be raised because Christ has been raised. I've met people who do not worry about a whole lot of things because they heed Jesus' words where he says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his or her life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Did I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. They receive this. They retain it and they hold on to it. They hold on to the promise that He knows what we need and that He will provide. I know people who are not choked by finances. Both people who have lots and lots of money and people who hardly have any money at all. Why? Because they heed Paul's words to Timothy, where he says, do not put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They heed the words, right? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. They do not worry because their heart is there. When I look at this painting, when I look at this parable, the question it asks me is, where am I? Where am I when it comes to maturity? Where are you when it comes to maturity? When I look at this, I'm reminded over here, right, that there are things that want to choke. There are things that want to come against me. They want to prevent me from maturing. They want to make me stand somewhere else. They want to prevent me from bearing spiritual fruit. Are there things in your life that are choking you right now? That are preventing you? That are steering you off course? That are steering you away from maturity? Do you have fears? Fears about things that are going on in your life? Do you have doubts? Are you uncertain about something? Do you have worries? Are you worried? Are these things choking you? So Jesus says, open yourself up to me. Hear my words to you. Retain them. Let go of those things and hold on to me. Persevere. Don't let go. When the going gets tough, hold on to me. Do not swerve. Do not be tempted. Kim shared with me that to make the switch, she had to obey. She had to obey what the Lord said. Not revenge. Not trying to get even. Forgive. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What is it that you need to hear this morning? Where are you at when it comes to these four types? Jesus calls us and invites us to maturity. He invites us to come and to hold on Him, to let go of those things that are choking us to let go of those, to hang on to Him. Would you pray with me?